to another edition of the Screen Nerds Podcast. My name's Michael Burgett, and thanks for joining me for this rescreen episode of Howl's Moving Castle, the 2004 animated film written and directed by the great Hayao Miyazaki. Just got done rewatching the film and wanted to share some of my thoughts from my initial watch back in the day, as well as my thoughts on this latest rewatch. So, as you know, I am a huge Miyazaki fan. I love Studio Ghibli, and Howl's Moving Castle is one of my favorite Miyazaki films of all time. I've mentioned some of the other ones, such as Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro, and The Wind Rises, but Howl's Moving Castle is one of those ones that's right up there as well. And the first time that I saw this film was a part of that great watch-a-thon, if you will, that I did to play catch-up with his films. It was in the mid-2000s, and I was living in Seattle, as I've mentioned before, and rented them from the local Blockbuster and just kind of went through a bunch of Miyazaki films, and Howl's Moving Castle was one of them. And first time I watched it, fell in love with it. It just really captured my imagination and just really just grabbed a hold of me and just fell in love with the film and became one of my favorite films. And it was great to see it on the big screen for the first time in this latest rewatch, and just to see the big castle moving along on a big screen was just really cool to see. And that's one of the things that really stood out in this latest rewatch, was just how impressive the animation was with the big set pieces. Not just Howl's Castle, but along with battleships, airships, just the scope of the animation was just so impressive. If you don't remember or don't know the story of Howl's Moving Castle, it's actually based on a novel by the same name. And it tells the story of a young girl named Sophie who's unassuming. She just goes about her day working in a hat shop and unequivocally, you know, lives a quiet, solitude kind of a life. But one day she runs into Howl, who's a magician. He's a wizard. And that one fateful meeting turns her life upside down. She ends up getting cursed by the Witch of the Waste with old age, and she is basically thrown into a world that she has no knowledge of and knows nothing about, and ends up living in Howl's Moving Castle, which is where the title of the story comes from. And she ends up meeting Calcifer, who kind of pilots the castle. She meets all these different kinds of characters, and as well as getting caught up in what everyone is caught up in, this war between two rival kingdoms, in which is using wizards and witches to kind of fight the battles for them. Just a really compelling story, and one that has a lot of heart to it, because at the heart of it is a story of, you know, a young girl who really has to find herself and find her courage, as well as, you know, a wizard who loses heart and has to kind of find his way back to his heart. Just a really fun film, and like I mentioned, the impressive animation, which is always the case with Studio Ghibli and Miyazaki films, but here it just, like I mentioned, how it just so impressed me, the set pieces and the largeness of the, how the animation of the set pieces went together so flawlessly. And it just really just, that stood out to me, as well as something that was just kind of really thought-provoking at one point to me in the film, was how music was used, in that there were several scenes where there was no music at all. And that really stood out in how, in a lot of the films, the music is just kind of with you throughout the film, But as with this film, there were several key scenes and moments where there's no music at all. And it just really just kind of, I don't want to say shocked in a way, but it definitely left an impression on me how the music there, when there wasn't any, really made the scenes kind of stand out. And when there was music brought back into it, how it made that, that made those scenes even more impressive. So it was just really cool how this film played with that use of music versus not music in the film. I thought that really kind of stood out to me. I mentioned before how the English dub voice casts are very well done and how they were picked out. And this one is no exception. To me, really the highlights of the voice dub cast was Christian Bale as Hal and Billy Crystal as Calcifer. Really, those two to me were just the best because they really epitomized the characters. Like, I could not think of anybody else to play Calcifer except for Billy Crystal. His wit, his charm, his hilarity, it just fits that character so well. And the same goes with Christian Bale and Hal. Like, I could not see anybody else be able to capture with their voice a character that is so complex and so sensitive, yet has a dark side to him, yet has just a beauty of light as well, and just all that dichotomy there, that Christian Bale really can pull that off so eloquently. And so I could never imagine anybody else doing that role except for him. And then you even have like the great Lauren Bacall, who does the voice of the Witch of the Waste. You know, you have A-list talent doing the voice work here, and just really, really just great work, and really is another layer of how wonderful these films are, and especially for this film in particular. Just top to bottom, just really was glad to rewatch this film. It's one of, I would say, one of Miyazaki's best. It did get nominated back in the day for an Academy Award. It didn't win, though I think that year it had really stiff competition. And so it was kind of, it was one of those years where it's understandable why it didn't win an Oscar. But considering the fact that this film was a follow-up to Spirited Away, which won Miyazaki an Oscar, is very impressive, because it's very hard to top a film that wins a best animated picture award. But Miyazaki did it, and I always contend that Howl's Moving Castle is better and should have won an Oscar in its own right. Than, you know, not to take anything away from Spirited Away, but I always felt like Howl's Moving Castle should have won an Oscar, and that it deserves that. It deserves those accolades. It deserves those flowers. But I'm glad that it gets opportunities like Ghibli Fest to be able to be shown again on a big screen, so that people can experience it in that way, because it's worth being seen on a big screen. And super enjoyed it. Super glad to watch it. And if you get an opportunity, definitely take advantage of it and check it out on a big screen. But even so, just watch the film. Watch Howl's Moving Castle. It is a great film. It is definitely worth your time and money and investment of watching it. So that's my thoughts and memories on Howl's Moving Castle. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the film when you've seen it, what you think. Or any film that you've been checking out of late. You can let me know your thoughts anytime by email, screennerdspodcast@gmail.com. You can always find us on Twitter @screennerdspod and share your thoughts there. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just search out Screen Nerds Podcast, hit that like button, hit that follow button, and share your thoughts there. And if you get an opportunity, please rate and review and subscribe to the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Good Pods, CastBox, Amazon Music, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Just hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star review, hopefully leave a written review, and share the podcast around. It really does help and really do appreciate it. So again, thanks for joining me for this rescreen episode. My name is Michael Burgett, and we will catch you on the next episode.